The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Dan Bardell. Welcome to 1874, The Athletic's podcast all about Aston Villa Football Club. Joined as ever by Greg Evans and Holly Percival. A little bit of a weird Christmas party at 9 a.m. in the morning, but we wanted to do a final podcast all together before the Christmas period. Have a little update on all the things that are going on at Villa Park, although not a lot at the moment. How are we both?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Dan. Nice to see you again. 2 days in a row.
I know, yeah. Well, we'll come on to that. Greg and I did some late night podcasting last night and it was very, very good. But we will talk about that a little bit later in the show. Holly, you well in your Christmas jumper? At least you've made an effort.
Yeah, I was going to say, someone's made an effort this morning and that was me. So I'm very disappointed in the lack of Christmas theme among this podcast. But
yeah, I didn't know there was a Christmas theme, to be honest. So I didn't put anything on. I've actually got a Villa Christmas jumper, so I could have put that on. But then anyone that's listening to the podcast is never going to see it. So essentially, that's pointless. Greg, need a COVID update from you.
Oh, dear.
got to be the only place to start, the COVID update. Late cancellation of the Burnley game, unfortunately, just as I'd arrived in Birmingham. What's going on? Is the game on Boxing Day at risk?
I think it still is at the moment. It's due to go ahead. But as we keep hearing from Steven Gerrard in every press conference, it's literally an hour by hour update. You know, things change so quickly. Villa are testing every day now. You know, it was three times a week. It's now every single day. And they're waiting for results back. I think the following day, I think they get that then. So, you know, certainly within 24 hours now, I think that there's a speeding up of a process. But yeah, Steven Gerrard was asked to give some team news ahead of the Chelsea game and he simply couldn't. You know, the one thing that I've really liked about him is that he's been so open and he tries to explain everything that's happening with his players. He just can't at the moment because the situation's so fluid. It's changing so often. Positive and negative cases have been recorded every day. And what's going against Villa is the fact that so many under 23 players have featured for Villa.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, this season. So the Premier League look at that and think, well, you know, that they're actually classed as first team players now. So I believe it's 14 players they need to have available to be able to get the fixture ahead. And at present, Villa have got those.
Yeah, because someone said to me before the game got cancelled that basically, because Villa's under 23s have played the night before, that if they could have still pulled them in to play the game on Saturday, is that the case? Because that feels like bad scheduling as well, having an under-23s game the night before and then Villa might need to utilise some of those players and they can't because they've played the night before and there's illnesses there as well. Is that the case?
I think it is, yeah, because they're part of the first team.
So even if they'd played the night before,
I'm pretty sure it was all clear. I mean, yeah, I'll have to find out the finer details around that, but I'm pretty sure they can, yeah. I mean, look, it's not ideal, is it? And I know there's clear frustration there amongst the coaching team. You know, Ashley Young picked up an injury, didn't he, in the last game at Norwich? And I think the staff felt that he was possibly being overused. But if you look at the bench on that night, the majority of other players, well, in fact, the whole of the midfield were teenagers. So, you know, Villa didn't really have any other options to turn to when Campbell was out injured. Sanson missed the game. El Ghazi missed the game. You know, they were threadbare at the time. So it's a real unusual situation. And, you know, we can't even say that it's the same for the rest of the Premier League because there are some clubs that haven't recorded a single positive COVID case. And clearly, if you're one of those clubs, then that's the reason why at the Premier League meeting earlier in the week, you voted for the games to continue.
I think Burnley only had one case, didn't they? So they'd have been coming up against a depleted Villa. That does give them an advantage. Villa are going into that game in good form, Hollow. But yeah, Burnley have got a full squad and Villa haven't because of COVID. It does seem unfair.
Yeah, I think like Greg said, after the Norwich game, Villa's bench and options for substitutes were kind of depleted and very limited. So in terms of fitness and availability, I think Villa would definitely further behind than Burnley, but I still was excited to see the game because I felt like the momentum from Norwich and the excitement from Norwich would have carried through to the game against Burnley, and I would have put my eggs all in Villa's basket to win that game as well. So it was disappointing to see it get called off, but you know, the health and safety of the players and the staff do come first, so hopefully that game will be rescheduled at a good time when Villa have still got good momentum and they can go on and win that game as well. But I guess the same could be said for the Boxing Day fixture. Hopefully Villa are better off than Chelsea in terms of COVID cases. Not that you want anyone to be out with COVID, because you want to have the best game of football possible. But, you know, there are those slight silver linings. I think hence why on the weekend, you know, there was some strange upsets, Chelsea drawing, Liverpool drawing, you know, all those factors come into it as to why teams aren't performing the best they are. And on top of a busy festive period as well. So hopefully, you know, there aren't any major injuries and players aren't overworked too much, but teams can only do so much if the games are still going ahead.
Yeah, I feel like I might be a COVID risk for the Chelsea game at the moment. I have to get that new Christmas tradition of a PCR test later on in the day. Greg, it's a bit of a funny one because it was cancelled or postponed so late. It's not really anything anyone could do about it. You did a piece on the day explaining what had happened. Just for the people who hadn't seen that piece, can you just go through the day and what will have happened? Because it's like I say, it's no one's fault really, but to call a game off around 2 hours before kickoff, it's not great.
Yeah, it's a nightmare for supporters. You know, people forget, there was a lot of upset Villa fans, but people forget about the Burnley fans travelling down as well. You know, many of those would have left off, of course they would have, and they would have been on their way. So logistically, it's a nightmare for supporters. Really, really frustrating. There wasn't too much more Villa could have done about it. They were on the back of the Norwich game where they knew how many COVID cases they had. They were testing every day, tested on Friday, and were waiting for the results overnight on Saturday. It's my understanding that at 10:30 a.m., they contacted the Premier League to ask for the game to be called off because they'd received more COVID cases overnight. Premier League never got back to them until 12:15.
That's mad.
And that was, you know, that was when the decision was made. You know, I had a conversation with somebody at the club at 12 noon, and their understanding was that the game was going to go ahead at that point. By 12:15, the game had been called off. So that was just how quickly things turned around. Look, it was the right decision in the end because Villa would have been absolutely down to the bare bones. And what you don't want to go and see as a football fan is your second team playing against, you know, a full first team, or in even an extreme case, your third team playing against an opposing second team. You want to see the best game, and as a football fan, and as a Villa fan, you want to see your best team out there. And Villa just weren't able to field that. So the right decision was made in the end.
Why is there that gap? You might not know the answer. Villa are letting Premier League know at 10:30. Why is it taking so long for the Premier League to get back to them? Because time is sensitive in this instance.
I don't know the finer details around, you know, how many cases they'd recorded, who was missing, you know, who was classed as a first team player. That there are so many more details that go into it, and I think what you've got to remember from the Premier League's point of view is that they've got a lot going on as well. You know, I think that, you know, organising these meetings, they can't just happen immediately. I think they're decisions that need to be sort of carefully analysed. But look, I think Villa got, I think the decision that was made was the right one in the end, and that was the most important thing.
I don't know whether you saw it, Holly. There's a young lad called Keita, kid that had come over from the Singapore Lions. Imagine getting there and as a kid in the game, just getting cancelled. I mean, luckily, I think Luke Roper have sorted him out with two tickets for Boxing Day against Chelsea. But now that could end up not happening as well. You think of all these people coming from far and wide to catch a game before Christmas and all the money. I mean, it doesn't matter to me really, but, you know, I've spent money on fuel to come down to Birmingham. Like I say, it's not a massive deal at all. I get there and the game gets cancelled. But there's people coming from all over the place for catch a game before Christmas, and they'll never really get that money back.
Yeah, it's a real shame because I think, you know, for some families who don't have season tickets or can't afford to go each week, Christmas is that perfect time to gift tickets to matches and go together as a family on Boxing Day or the game before or the game after. So it is a real shame, and I think there needs to be a better system. But I think even though last year when fans weren't allowed in and there was that transition back to having fans back in this season, I still don't think there's a great way to kind of deal with random postponements. So hopefully people who have travelled, you know, extreme distances such as Singapore are able to go to the games this over Boxing Day or perhaps the one after that. But, you know, you almost forget how big Villa's fan base is in terms of globally. So, you know, when you see that kind of post on Twitter and you go, oh, I've only travelled, you know, 10 minutes up the road to try and watch them, but other people have travelled globally to watch Villa because they're the club that means everything to them. It's a real shame. So hopefully things have been sorted out. And if Luke Roper have sorted the tickets out, that's great as well. So you know, I saw that and I was like, I mean, I don't even have a season ticket that I can offer, not that I can do that as an option anyway, but you just wish that the club could do more or anyone could do more to kind of help accommodate that, especially if come, you know, 24 hours before kickoff, there are still seats available for sale. They should just be handing those out to people who have, you know, missed out to previous games through postponement. I think, you know, there could be a better system for that. So hopefully Boxing Day goes ahead, because I think it'll still be a really exciting game, excluding, you know, potential COVID cases.
I think, Dan, in the club's defence, you know, they did try to do as much as they could to get it. And, you know, the statement that they put out after, they, you know, they were very apologetic, that they, you know, they made it clear that they knew it would have affected many supporters, and they clearly wanted to apologise for that. There were some supporters who had bought hospitality tickets and they were still allowed to go into the ground, you know, have their meal, have a couple of drinks, as they usually would have. You know, they might have got some guests coming along with them. You know, Villa accommodated for those and will still give them a ticket for the return game when it's when it's rescheduled. So look, you know, that they did try. It's unforeseen circumstances, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, sure.
And I think clubs across the country are just trying to accommodate and adapt as best they can at the moment. But it's just such a difficult scenario, unfortunately. And as we all know, I think we all know individually more people who have got COVID than ever before. You know, COVID isn't going away, so clubs and other industries across the country need to adapt, unfortunately.
Sits well. Harley calling Villa a global club, though, doesn't he, Greg? The global Greg Evans. Good to hear. Yeah, loves it. I saw the little smile on his face when she said global club Aston Villa.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. Greg's already touched on it, but the load on players at the moment is massive. Gerrard spoke this week about that very subject.
My staff and people around the club are trying to do our best to keep the players in the best situation we can, trying to protect them, trying to make sure that we have the environment in the best, safest possible way we can. We had a situation at the weekend where one of the players was reluctant to get out of his car because he had some symptoms and he's got a young family and the time. And you can totally understand his view and his situation on it. Thankfully, he was tested after it and he didn't have a situation, but that player wouldn't have been available for me on the day. And these are the little situations that people don't see.
Not good, is it, Greg?
It's not, no, because I think what a lot of people forget as well, you know, these footballers, they are just human beings as well. You know, they care about their family, they care about their health, and of course they do. You know, nobody wants to be picking up COVID at the moment. What I would say is that Villa, there's a very high double vaccination rate, and, you know, that the players are going through the booster jabs as and when possible. Obviously, not every player has it, and there are individual cases. And that's why the club need to take those into consideration. They need to protect them because there is a duty of care there as an employer as well. So it just shows, doesn't it? It's just a mad world at the moment and nothing's really changing.
I don't know whether you saw the shots of Trezeguet running around Villa Park, just casually doing a few laps of the pitch honour.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see him back, hopefully. And I think he's another player that could thrive under Gerrard if given the chance, and he's able to come back from injury so quickly. So you kind of hope that the COVID situation at Villa doesn't get worse, which would potentially mean having to call on him sooner than expected, and hopefully he's not overworked too quickly. So I think, again, he can be a really impactful substitute, or potentially, you know, even prove his point and make his way into the starting 11. So it's kind of, he's one of those players that Villa will just need at the right times, and I think he can definitely produce for them.
Yeah, Soccer Saturday picked up on him running around the pitch. I don't know whether you saw it, Greg. Just then he called him David Trezeguet, which was a bit of a throwback. The old French striker. Yeah, I think
I'm sure he won't mind.
Nice little comparison there. Let's attempt to preview the Chelsea game on Boxing Day then. It's been difficult to do because we can't really talk about team news because literally anybody could end up being missing. It's a really funny one. But if it does go ahead, it's a decent time to play Chelsea, Greg.
Yeah, I think it is. But that'll quickly be qualified if Villa have a lot of first team players out. So we'll have to see who's available for Villa first and foremost. If there's lots of under 23 players, and it's going to be difficult, we know that some of them can come in and step in. You know, Carney Chukwuemeka is a player who we're all excited to see. And there are others on the bench as well. But if you're going up against Chelsea, you know that typically you're going to be up against a very strong squad. They're in a bit of a difficult moment, aren't they? They're not scoring and keeping goals out at the rate that they previously were. They've got lots of injuries and COVID setbacks themselves. So it might be one of those games that I was mentioning earlier that we're not too keen on, where it's two understrength teams lining up against each other, and it has a feel of a Carabao Cup game. But we shall see. I mean, look, you know, Villa are playing well under Steven Gerrard, so if they can name a decent team, they'll fancy the chances.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard's got a checkered past with Chelsea as well, hasn't he? So he'll want to get one over on them always, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think Gerrard will be looking to go for a win 100%. He's not obviously got a win against a big six team as of yet. So I think he'll want to make his mark and utilise the fact that Chelsea are going to be without, you know, Lukaku will most likely still be out with COVID, and, you know, Ben Chilwell is still out. So that they are definitely missing some key players. I think it's just going to be how much momentum Villa can have going into the game. Like Greg said, how much has COVID disrupted the team and training? Do they still have that momentum from Norwich? Hopefully, you know, again, it's so hard to predict Villa's team, but if Jacob Ramsey is still feeling confident, then I'd put my money on him to be one of the most impactful players. And John McGinn always seems to, you know, do well in games against Chelsea. And if Kante's available, you know, I think that could be a really good midfield scrap. So it's definitely an exciting game. And we've, you know, not had the best success against Chelsea on Boxing Day fixtures previously, but hopefully that might change this year.
Well, fingers crossed, if it can go ahead safely, the game against Chelsea on Boxing Day does happen. Now, we did promise you a special Christmas treat today, but you're going to have to hang on a few days as Greg is going to write up an article about it. But I can at least tell you now what it is and tease you with a very short clip. So let's run that clip now.
I was really, really disappointed not to play the first game. You know, me being the, you know, adore playing football, what I live for, and not to play that kind of big game at Villa Park. The atmosphere was electric that day. It was really, really frustrating for me. So when we are 1-0 down, people probably go on about the technique or whatever. It was, honestly, hand on that, it was pure frustration. I was either hitting that into the top corner or I was hitting it into the halting. I didn't care. You know what I mean? I was just putting my foot through it. And luckily enough, people are talking about it now as a wonder strike, which is amazing, of course.
Yeah, Greg and I sat down on Zoom last night with Conor Hourihan and went through his time in Claret and Blue. It's a very enjoyable evening, wasn't it, Greg?
Really good. It was one of those interviews where I came away thinking, wow, you know, I've learned quite a lot from him. But also, I just felt we could have just talked more and more for hours and hours and hours about Villa, you know, his genuine love for the club. And I just wanted to know more. It was one of those ones where I just could have gone on for so long. It was great. And I'm sure the listeners will really enjoy it next week.
Yeah, and you'll have a written piece coming out as well, won't you, Greg, to accompany the podcast?
Yeah, got that done quite quick overnight, actually, Dan. I was quite impressed with myself.
Fair play to you, because it was a late finish.
Yeah. Usually takes me a day, you know, also to put these stories together, but I turned this one around quite quickly, so maybe I'm getting better with age, mate.
Maybe it's because he gave you so much golden information, which is more easy to put together than the usual.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, thanks to Conor for spending his evening talking to us, and hopefully that'll be a podcast that you'll all enjoy while you're nursing your hangovers around Christmas, or just isolated and whatever everyone's doing, because, yeah, the world is absolutely mad. Holly, you looking forward to that?
The podcast? Definitely.
Well, not being isolated. Yeah, you looking forward to the podcast?
Yeah, the podcast 100%. We were just saying then, Conor Hourihan is definitely one of my favourite players. I kind of pick my favourite players based on people who just kind of value the club and have good morals and you know, aren't always the best player on the pitch for Villa, but, you know, show up in the important moments and are always dedicated to the club. And Hourihan is definitely one of those for me. So, you know, definitely, I wouldn't say it was worth going and watching the new Spider-Man movie over being on the podcast. But, yeah, I'm very excited to hear it in a couple of weeks.
You made your choice, Holla. A tangled web we weave.
Oh, punny.
Absolute silence after that, and I don't blame you at all. So, yeah, that Conor Hourihan podcast will be with you on the 29th of December, and there'll be a written piece from Greg to accompany it somewhere around that time as well. So make sure you're looking out for that. We'll post all over social media when that's coming out.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, top threes. Top three Christmas moments for Aston Villa Football Club. Greg, I know because you were working so late, you haven't had time to come up with anything. You've thought of anything on the fly. Have you got one?
I've got one. This is a really left field one and most people are laughing at it, but I think I remember Ross McCormack scoring on Boxing Day against Burton Albion, yeah, and I thought,
times.
Do you know what? Maybe this might be the start of his run for Villa, because I have to admit, when Ross McCormack was signed for Villa, I did genuinely believe, you know, as did the people that recruited him, that he would be the guy that would fire Villa back to the Premier League. You know, if you remember his form in the Championship before, scored so many goals for Leeds and Fulham, rarely missed a game through injury as well. So what actually happened at Villa was a bit of a surprise to many. And yeah, I just remember that day against Burton Albion when he scored and thought, this could be the making of him. Sadly, it wasn't.
What memories, Greg. Leandro Bacuna scoring a diving header. Jordan Ayew crossed in for Ross McCormack and then them both leaving a month later. What times. Great time to be a Villa fan, Greg. We all remember those Christmases in the Championship very, very fondly. Holly, have you got one?
Yeah, so I have to admit, mine are definitely both from watching like highlight reels of Villa's previous years, because I was definitely way too young to remember both of these games. But both of mine are Boxing Day. The first one is the 4-0 win over Everton in 05-06. I think one of the few Boxing Day wins that Villa actually have, because we don't have a great record on the day.
That's what I was gonna pull that, because there was a really good goal in
that
game.
What was the goal? I was trying to remember them.
Angel and Barros, loads of 1-2s, and then Angel ended up scoring. I think Mark Delaney scored that day as well. I was going to talk about that game, but I thought it was quite niche, but you beat me to it.
I can only apologise. I'm pretty sure it's one of, if not the only, like Boxing Day win for Villa in the Premier League, so it's not the best. And then the other one I had was the 4-4 v Chelsea in 07-08.
Nick's my other one as well. Thanks, Holla. No.
You go for it. I can't remember the goals off the top of my head, but I know that obviously there was a penalty or one or two penalties, a red card, and just absolute chaos. I remembered it and I was like, I need to go watch it back. So I'll probably do that after this podcast, to be honest, because that was definitely one of my favourite games.
That's one of those games that if you switch on Sky Sports and they're showing like reruns of classic games, that game's always on there. I think Sean Maloney scored two.
Yeah.
Larson scored and Barry got a penalty in stoppage time.
Class game.
Were Chelsea down to 9 men in the end? I can't remember if they were or not.
I don't know, but I need to watch it back after this because it was definitely one of the best.
And then there was another game around Christmas a few years later under Hooley at Stamford Bridge. It was 3-3. That was very, very similar. Villa scored again in stoppage time to equalise Kieran Clark. He's had some crazy games at Stamford Bridge. Quite topical as we're playing Chelsea at Villa Park, hopefully, this Boxing Day. But the only other one I can remember is, I don't even think it was Boxing Day, it was just around Christmas, was under O'Neill being 2-0 down against Arsenal. And Zach Knight equalising in stoppage time on the left foot volley. Do you remember that, Greg?
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah. Remember it well.
You don't, do you?
I do remember it well.
Oh, okay. My face is telling a completely different story of that of someone who remembers it well. But yeah, hopefully we'll be creating some memories on Boxing Day this year at Villa Park. Can do some shout outs now. Greg, did you put a tweet out? Did you put something on the Athletic website? I can't remember what it was that you did.
No, I just wanted to give some of our regular listeners the opportunity just to say Happy Christmas to people who they feel, you know, most deserved it. A couple of people got in touch. Dean Caffrey, he wants to wish Nikki, a friend of his, Happy Christmas. I think she's also a big Villa fan and he thinks it would be a good booster for her to hear that. So Happy Christmas to you, Nikki.
Happy Christmas, Nikki.
Jack Miller also wants to shout out Dan Matheson, the Villa fan he sits next to at each game. I think he's had some health problems this year and hasn't been able to get to the ground since pre-lockdown, but Jack wants him to know that everyone's still thinking about him. So Happy Christmas to you, Dan. Not you, Dan Matheson.
That's really nice of you, Greg. Thanks ever so much.
Yeah, and just one for myself to John Flanner, who I think I've mentioned a few times. He's a blind Aston Villa supporter who listens in most weeks. John's been a very big encourager in my life this year. So Happy Christmas to you, John.
Certainly recognise John's name. He's done some stuff on the Villa website before, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a motivational talker as well. So somebody who always gives me a lift, yeah.
Holly, is there anyone you'd like to shout out?
I was also going to shout out Dean, just because him, along with quite a few other people, sent some lovely messages when I covered the Spurs game when Greg was ill, and joining the podcast. There's been a lot of lovely Villa fans getting in touch, and it's been really nice to become more involved in the Villa community, because that's not something that I really had the chance to do before the Athletic. So I'm very appreciative and kind of really reflecting on that over Christmas. And I've been lucky enough not to plug my own stream, but just to have a lot of lovely people come across to Twitter, from Twitter to Twitch as well, and talk relentlessly about Aston Villa and watch me fail on my four managers say. So it's been really nice to just really interact with them and kind of get along with so many people, which has been really nice.
Yeah, I can relate to the failing on Football Manager streams, because the one I'm doing with my mate at the moment is not going well at all. I'm going to shout out someone as well, Dean Averis, because he listens to all the Villa stuff. He listens to every Villa podcast going. I think it's his first Christmas this year with his lad. So yeah, I wish him a very happy Christmas and thank him for the support. And I know he'll definitely be looking forward to listening to the Conor Hourihan podcast on the 29th. That does us then. Final podcast before Christmas. And other than the Conor podcast, this will be the final one of 2021. So you will have to listen to Greg and myself again before Christmas speaking to Conor. But that's it for Holly for 2021. We will be back in the new year. Hopefully you all enjoy that podcast with Conor that comes out on the 29th. And we'll all be back, the three of us, in January. Crowds or not, we're excited about the direction that Villa are heading in. So until then, have a very Merry Christmas and up the Villa.
The Athletic.